This is Radio Energy News.
You're listening to Radio Napier. I'm Mona Shannon. Coming up in today's programme, the ousted Catalan president Carles Puigdemont has fled to Brussels following serious sedition charges being levelled against him by Spanish prosecutors. We have a full report on the situation, which has left some in Catalonia in confusion.
The atmosphere on the streets is like a kind of concern about our future.
The Commons leader has proposed changes to grievance procedures to tackle sexual harassment in politics after allegations of inappropriate behaviour by UK MPs and MSPs in Scotland. And we also have a special report on some altogether spooky goings-on at the Edinburgh Horror Festival.
It's the day before Halloween. Perhaps not the scariest night of the year, but certainly the second scariest night of the year. Unless, of course, you've been out on the Friday before Christmas. That's scarier.
All that and more over the next 50 minutes right here on Radio Napier. The Spanish government has officially suspended the Catalan parliament, imposing direct rule in the region. The ousted Catalan leader, Carles Puigdemont, has fled to Brussels following an announcement this morning by Spain's prosecutor, José Manuel Maza, that rebellion, sedition and provocation charges would be levelled against the former leaders of the Catalan government. Our Europe correspondent, Abdul Rahman Ez, has the report.
As the global media gather in Barcelona expecting to see the outstate Catalan president attempt to take his office, Carles Puigdemont was on his way to Brussels. The Spanish Home Office confirmed that Mr. Puigdemont was in Belgium shortly after an announcement that he would be facing serious charges of rebellion and sedition. Our reporter Maria Rum Salvador is on the ground in Barcelona and told us what the atmosphere in the city was like today.
The main thing is uncertainty because the Catalan Republic has been claimed, but the Catalan representatives have not come today to work. We have our president in Brussels, and some of the deputies that have been resigned, they haven't come to work, so we don't know which is the legality now here in Catalonia, and we don't have any presence of Catalan members of the parliament, neither of the Spanish Congress.
Given the divisions in the region over the question Catalonian self-determination sparked by the Catalan government's referendum on the 1st of October, deemed illegal by Spain, the atmosphere today remains tense as Mr. Carles Ferreira, political advisor to the Girona City Council, could tell.
The atmosphere is a bit strange. So there are some people who are very, plenty of joy, but a lot of people who are worried or who are a bit surprised. It's not like we have a republic. So the atmosphere is like we did something and we did some steps to the new republic, but despite of the declaration, we have not yet that republic. So I think that the atmosphere on the streets is that. It's like a kind of concern about our future.
Earlier today, we spoke to Professor Duncan Wheeler, chair of Spanish studies at Leeds University, and asked why he thought that Puigdemont had fled.
Really, he's got limited options now. So I suspect what he's doing is he's trying to stress his martyrdom. And the easiest way to do that is to become a political exile. And I think it's a way of hoping to generate publicity and support for his cause, both the Catalan cause and both, you know, colleagues of his have ended up in prison, haven't they?
Our reporter Paul Yusa is in Brussels today and gives this update.
Other members of the Catalan government will maybe remain in Brussels. They have meetings here, apparently, and maybe they will remain, not just one day, you know. They will remain because they are charged by the Spanish court.
That was our correspondent Abdul Rahman Ez speaking to Pau Yossa there at the end of the report. Following weekend revelations of reported harassment allegations in politics in the UK and Scotland, both Holyrood and Westminster have responded. Lindsay Thompson reports.
There can be no place for harassment, abuse, or misconduct in politics. Your age, gender, or job title should have no bearing on the way you are treated in a modern workplace. I can confirm that the Cabinet Office is urgently investigating reports of specific allegations of misconduct in relation to the Ministerial Code. It is absolutely right that the House must address the urgent issue of alleged mistreatment of staff by Members of Parliament.
Commons leader Andrea Leadsom has outlined proposed changes to grievance procedures to tackle sexual harassment amid allegations of inappropriate behaviour by MPs. Her announcement comes after Speaker John Bercow responded to a letter from the Prime Minister expressing concern that the current disciplinary regime lacks teeth.
Let me make it clear. There must be zero tolerance of sexual harassment or bullying here at Westminster or elsewhere.
In Scotland, human rights lawyer Amar Anwar has hit out at what he describes as a culture of abject silence surrounding sexual harassment in Scottish politics. Mr. Anwar stated that a change in attitudes was needed before such incidents could be dealt with adequately and criticised the media for their historical scepticism towards survivors, particularly women.
As a man, I find it surprising that I say something on the Sunday papers and it appears on the front page and everybody appears to be running about saying, oh, this is something new. It's not something new. Women have been talking about this for years. If people go forward, then the concern they have is they're not going to be believed. How do they prove it? I think what we really need to see is a change in culture that will increase confidence in reporting.
A former foreign policy advisor has become the latest person indicted in connection with the federal investigation into suspected collusion between the Trump administration and the Russian government in the run-up to the 2016 election. George Papadopoulos admitted to lying about his connections with a representative from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and making false statements to the FBI. Earlier today, President Trump's former campaign chairman Paul Manafort and his business associate Rick Gates were charged on 12 counts relating to conspiracy against the UK, the US and financial crimes. Paul Manafort is now believed to be in the FBI's headquarters in Washington with his lawyer. President Trump dismissed the charges on Twitter, saying this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign. Kellyanne Conway, a close counsellor to the president and a previous Trump campaign head, spoke out in defence of the Trump administration.
The president has also made very clear as recently as this weekend that he considers this a hoax and that people should be looking into any coordination, if not collusion, between the Clinton campaign, the DNC, this Russian dossier. I mean, could you imagine just paying $9 million and nobody knowing that you did that?
And now, a roundup of the top local stories. A man has been jailed in the High Court in Edinburgh today for assault with a knife and a stun gun. Andrew Hidspeth was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment for the attack on Jordan Ingalls, who he grabbed by the throat and attacked him with an illegal stun gun and stabbed him in the back. A Kirkcaldy man, who murdered his victim with a vampire skull sword, has been jailed for 18 years. The killer, Adrian Hyde, stabbed Alex Forbes more than 100 times in the attack in Gala Shields. The judge described the killing as brutal and bloodied. A driver has been clocked by Scottish police at 124 miles per hour in a 60 mile per hour zone. The 26-year-old man was driving a Renault Megane sport car on the A68 near Dalkeith. He will now report to the Procurator Fiscal. A 68-year-old woman has been pronounced dead on the Riverside Rose in Leven following being hit by a car. The woman was driving a white Mazda 2 who was uninjured. Police are appealing for witnesses. You're listening to Radio Napier. The time is 4:52. A new report by the Scottish Government says that 30,000 Scots may lose their disability benefits. The report, titled Impact of UK Welfare Policy on Disabled People, details the effect that personal independent payment schemes have on the Scottish population. PIP comes with harsher medical screenings, where reductions in allowances are attributed to those who can carry out basic physical activities. Claimants either discontinue their allowances completely or join PIP, with 44% of claimants having their allowance cut or removed. The Minister for Social Security, Jane Freeman, said she is disappointed by the UK government's commitment to austerity as an approach to budget deficit reduction. A cancer charity has appointed an online nurse to combat fake news, often found on online forums. Today, it was announced that Glasgow-based Macmillan nurse Ellen McPack will be on hand using social media and the Macmillan website to help people who are looking up their symptoms online. This comes after Macmillan said 2/5 of people with cancer looked up their information about their diagnosis on the internet. Some of the claims she is aiming to debunk include baking soda being a cure and the suggestion chemotherapy kills more people than cancer itself. Charlotte Hume reports.
Linda Malcolm is a cancer survivor. I asked if she ever used Google to diagnose her symptoms.
Prior to your diagnosis, did you self-diagnose online?
No, not at all. I decided not to use the internet at all for that because I knew that you would end up with some really odd situations. So I stuck to really anything that was official, the NHS information. Macmillan Cancer, they have literature that you can get from them, that was superb. So I avoided all that kind of thing. It's not me, I'm not a great one for surfing the net for information. A lot of people rely on the internet far too much nowadays, and the fake news situation can be, you know, they start to believe things that's just completely false. So I think that they actually, if they have someone like her to speak to and get a genuine and truthful answer, it would be much better.
Have you ever Google diagnosed yourself? The internet's a popular platform people use to diagnose their symptoms when they feel unwell. We asked a member of the public his thoughts on fake internet diagnosis.
Right now, for example, whenever I look for information, I always go to sites such as NHS, some sources that I can trust.
Macmillan Communications Manager Michelle Gallagher told us more about the role digital nurse Ellen McPake will be holding.
We've done some research looking at how often people were using Google or other search engines to find out information about cancer, and realised that a lot of people, over a third of people, turn to that, especially after diagnosis, to find out additional information. She's completely focused on digital platforms. We also have some other nurses who work partly on our support line, so they answer calls, but will also supplement by doing some digital work as well, because obviously, you know, so many people now go online for information for cancer, and it's unrealistic to think people wouldn't.
And now, sports news with Philip Wegman.
Brendan Rodgers Celtic face Bayern Munich tomorrow night in their fourth game of the Champions League group stage. Defeat at the hand of the German champions would all but end Celtic's hopes of qualifying for the final 16 of the competition. Scotland's caretaker manager Malky Mackay is not ruling himself out of taking permanent charge of the national team.
I'm 10 months into a job that I'm incredibly proud to be doing, and a job that's fundamentally, I think, is very, very important going forward in Scottish football. I'm looking forward to actually this next couple of weeks and being focused on that as far as I'm concerned. And after that, we'll wait and see where that goes.
The news comes after Mackay announced his first squad for Scotland's friendly against the Netherlands next month. The four home nations will request permission from FIFA to wear poppies during November's international matches. It follows a law change last month allowing the poppy to be worn, providing opposition teams and the football's governing body agree to it. Each nation was fined last year for wearing the Remembrance Day symbol during games, as FIFA deemed it to be a political symbol.
Edinburgh is in the haunting mood this Halloween, with the Edinburgh Horror Festival in full swing. On show there will be terrifying theatre, chilling comedy, spooky screenings and much more, so there will be something to scare and delight audiences of all ages. Activities are taking place in venues all over Edinburgh, so watch out for ghouls and monsters that may be lurking around the corner. The festival will end on Halloween night, so venture out into the capital if you're feeling brave.
Edinburgh, a capital city said to be rich with ghosts and phantoms. Once known as the Old Reekie, the city is known to capitalise on regular ghost tours which explore the capital's secret underground past. However, over the weekend, the city became creepier than ever, as for the second year running, the city hosted the Edinburgh Horror Festival. But don't be too frightened if you missed out on this weekend's events, because the festival continues today, and of course tomorrow, for Halloween.
Spilled milk. Just like the drama in this week's American Horror Story, Cult, and Nelly Set Coven.
Nethermore Theatre began when a group of Edinburgh drama students created a company which focuses on the genre of horror. They quickly made a name for themselves performing in the fringe and making YouTube videos in which they review the latest popular horror shows. I asked them about their show, EH15, that they're performing at the festival.
The show is about three different women in Edinburgh's history, so we kind of track different moments through their life that come to a point where they were all persecuted and then killed for their supposed kind of sins. but they're all very different, and of their time they were persecuted for things that were deemed inappropriate for women.
And what has your experience as a performer been like at the festival?
It's a festival that's quite accepting of a lot of different types of things, and we know Ash Price, who was the co-founder and he's the kind of runner of the Edinburgh Horror Festival. We've got quite a good relationship with him. Because last year it was a lot of kind of like comedy sketches and magic shows and some poetry reading, whereas this year it's really expanded into a like theatre and kind of a lot of things for kids as well. So there's like interactive kind of haunted house stuff for kids, and they've got the VR, yeah, that they do down at Ocean Terminal as well, and then a bunch of kind of theatre shows and poetry readings and history. And it's really, it's an all-round festival of so many things that are kind of tailored to horror and quite a lot of historical stuff as well.
With the countdown to Halloween in full swing, be sure to be on the lookout for some spooky entertainment around the city.
And now just enough time for a weather update. This evening and tonight, patchy rain over Lothian and Borders will clear in the east. Dry for a time with a few spells in the evening before outbreaks of rain spread east again overnight. Tonight's minimum temperatures in Edinburgh will be 8 degrees Celsius with an 80% chance of rain. Tuesday will be a cloudy day with some mostly light rain at times, turning mainly dry with a little brightness along the east coast in the afternoon. That's all from me today. I'm Rona Shannon, and you've been listening to Radio Napier.